Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you didn't see last night's episode of AEW Dynamite, in fact, can we just get some Sesame Street music playing? There we go, awesome, excellent, because the word of the day must have been madness, entertainment, non-stop. We better keep doing things every single second of the show, otherwise people may tune out. It was truly bonkers, I'm not gonna lie. I absolutely love this. And I get that you can't do this every single week because, my word, everyone would be exhausted by the end of the year. But when they do come along, it really does put a massive smile on my face. So let's go through the whole thing and try and figure out what the best bits were and what bits weren't so good. And there are a few of those too. We'll do it with this, the finger of power, because we're going to give the good bits an up and we're going to give the bad bits a down. So let's do that right now. Honestly, I am going to lose my mind over Christian. For years, everyone has just been saying he's underutilized and he deserved more. And then he goes to AEW, he gets more, and the same people go, oh no, that's too much. And no, him versus Frankie Kazarian is not the best match that you're ever going to see, but it was damn good. It was a little bit something different for AEW, and also it was Christian Cage's first match in 7 years after he came out of retirement. So come on now, and I for one am going to sing his praises until the day I die. And yes, again, I know it wasn't the usual AEW duck, duck, roll, roll, go, go kind of a thing. But when I tune into any kind of wrestling promotion, I want diversity and I want variety. I want every little thing to be a little bit different. Otherwise, you may as well just go stare at a wall. They essentially cancelled each other out to begin with before Kaz elbowed Christian out of the ring. And then Christian responded to that by slapping Kazarian right round the face. And then when he charged back towards the squared circle, he got back body dropped into it. And for some reason, it really looked like it sucked. And the majority of this too was them taking turns to beat down on the other one, with the other one then selling. But they had some tremendous near falls that really did captivate the crowd. A big one came when Christian went for a springboard splash. I actually thought that was going to be the end. But instead, Kazarian got to his feet. He charged at Cage. Christian moved. Kazarian hit the ring post. He then stumbled into the kill switch. And that resulted in the uno, dos, tres. I regret doing that. It made me sound like an idiot. So it was just solid fun stuff, but I really like Christian. And sometimes when it comes to wrestling, that's all you need. I have a want deep down in my stomach for him to do well. So as already mentioned, I will just cheer him on until I croak. It's a little bit much. A Darby Allin video promo followed, and we are definitely going to do a feud between him and Matt Hardy, and I think that's going to be really good. And Darby here was saying, Matt, it doesn't matter how rich you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, because you're not going to be able to buy my respect, you're going to have to earn it. And Sting, his dad, was along for the ride the whole time. It's so nice to see a father give so much time to his son. I did kind of think halfway through this, wouldn't it be great if we could do this further down the line when Darby Allin maybe was ready to turn heel, and then he could sell himself out to the devil and accept Matt Hardy's offer. Modern-day million-dollar man. Jade Cargill also got involved in the video action, and you know what she does. She flexes and she poses and she flexes and opposes. Although this week, she called herself a bitch, which on the wrestling scale means this match just keeps getting more and more intense. It was then time for the exhibition match between Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall, and we should have known. The build-up to this has been so kind of lackadaisical, we should have gone, well, it's going to implode at some point, and good grief, did it implode on this evening. Arne Anderson was the referee and the entire Nightmare family and the Nightmare Factory trainees were at ringside, and keep that one in your brain. And as Cody had promised 7 days ago, while he was giving QT Marshall a beating, he would always hold back a little bit. So he didn't give him the figure four, and he didn't give him the crossroads. And this really upset QT Marshall, as it would. So he slapped Cody Rhodes. And much like the word of the day, I was like, the theme of this evening's event is slapping. All of this became too much for QT though, because at one point he just got back in the ring and he ran through Arn Anderson and knocked him over. And at that point, everybody who had been on the outside decided to get on the inside. And you assumed they were there to calm the situation down, but then those trainees that I've already mentioned started beating up the veterans and the full-time guys. This included my man Anthony Ogogo just punching Cody right in the stomach, and the commentator sold that like he was Kano from Mortal Kombat and that he was about to extract the heart from Cody's body and just go, ha ha, you should have listened to me. I don't know. Dustin Rhodes also got busted open during this segment, and he got pile-driven into the steel steps. And just as they were about to take Cody's face and smash it with a steel chair, out came Red Velvet to make the save and pleaded with QT Marshall, go, QT, he's your friend, what you're doing? You're gonna break his skull. So I do believe we have another new group in pro wrestling, and if you want to say, well, this felt a little bit like the Nexus angle, it absolutely felt like the Nexus angle, but there's nothing wrong with that. Because in around about 32 seconds, we shone a spotlight on to all this new talent. I thought it was very well executed and I never saw it coming. I mean, what a great swerve for one man getting a grump. And there's the raw grump there, as we discussed on Tuesday's ups and downs. I mean, he manipulated his students. But I thought all of this was absolutely fabu and is getting up. Another video package aired next, and it was kind of this weird cross-dissolving fade thing between Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Like, they both had the same message, which was management doesn't like us much and we're not being pushed to the moon. But yeah, like I say, we faded from one to the other. So I suppose their big goal is to either fight each other to prove that they're the best, or maybe become a tag team. Red Velvet was then ready to talk about Jade Cargill and probably the fact that she just saved a man's life, when before she could even get a word out, Jade was here and she was beating her up and, of course, called her a bitch. Now, I have done the maths and I think this is the fourth time she has said it, so the feud is now super duper serious, and if she says it another time, the feud will become super duper trooper serious. And yes, I'm just as baffled as you. Why haven't I been fired? Jon Moxley finished off this flurry of promos too. He is absolutely enraged that the Good Brothers took out Eddie Kingston last week, and he's not all that happy that he's got to face Cesar Bononi later on. He then told us that he had gone to management and said, sure, I can fight him. I can see his upside. But what upside is he going to have when I kill him? That's what Jon Moxley said. I was laughing my ass off. Praise be to this man. We then got that match, and it was kind of like everything that we had done with Hangman last week. Like, it's really great to see all this new talent being showcased, but if you wanted to compare it to something like you'd see on AEW Dark, I wouldn't argue with you. Now, I'm not too mad about that, because I actually think Dynamite and Dark should cross the streams a bit more, because we do take those win-loss records, and we tie it to stories on Wednesday night. But given the pacing of this show, it did feel a little bit weird. And we also got to see Ryan Nemeth and JD Drake, because they're part of Bononi's crew. But ultimately, Nemeth got paradigm shift, and then Cesar Bononi was choked out. And that was that. We were done, and we were off to something else. Although I do have to put Cesar Bononi's facials over. When he was being choked, especially given what Moxley said earlier, I was like, is Moxley actually trying to kill him? He looked like he was dead. So that's a couple of thumbs. I think the real issue was that you knew what was going to happen. There was no way that Jon Moxley was going to lose this. And again, going back to the pacing, it just slowed down things a little bit. So I think you could have probably put this elsewhere, and therefore is getting it down. Team Taz then continued to fall out. Taz was here trying to tell us why the color orange was so great, while also saying, look how happy we all are. We should go to the fun fair. But then Ricky Starks wanted to go at Brian Cage, and then Brian Cage was all like, look, man, if you actually knew how to tag, maybe we wouldn't lose matches. So I give it 2 weeks maximum, and those two are going to be kicking each other's ass. We then had such a great out-of-nowhere segment, because MJF was showing the Pinnacle their brand new dressing room and the fact they're all going to have a personal stylist. And when he went to open the toilet door in said dressing room, who was just waiting there like a bunch of cartoons? It was the Inner Circle. Maxwell then told everyone they needed to bail, but when he opened the other door, Jake Hagar was standing behind that, And this was just the catalyst for a massive, massive brawl. They just ran riot throughout the backstage area, with the inner circle always having the upper hand, and someone got thrown through a door, somebody got thrown through a table, somebody got thrown in an ice bath, Tully was bleeding everywhere. This was an attack. I mean, Chris Jericho even grabbed MJF's head and smashed it through a vending machine. If you actually heard the words that came out of his mouth, he was doing a callback for his feud with Shawn Michaels when he threw the Heartbreak Kid's face into the Jerrytron 7 million or whatever it was. I've no idea how Jericho is meant to be considered a good guy, given a few weeks ago he tried to kill the Young Bucks' dad, but I don't even care about that. This was so flippant entertaining, and like I say, just popped up and went, oh, here we go, I'm giving it up. And talking about that attack on our fathers, we then cut to the Young Bucks who were being interviewed when Don Callis swanned up to them and just tried to piss them the hell off. And it worked to a certain point of view, because Nick Jackson decided he was going to get the hell out of there, but then Don Callis tried to emotionally ruin Matt Jackson by saying, you turned your back on your friend, it was your fault that your father got beaten up, who do you think you are? I think you're a terrible person. I mean, Don clearly wanted Matt to just smack him in his mouth, and when the verbal stuff didn't work, he just slapped Matt Jackson instead. So what did I say earlier? A night of 1,000 slaps. Matt held his temper as Callis told him, you make me sick. And at one point, the tag team champions are just going to run nuts. And at that point, we're going to be like, yes, you should have done that ages ago. So we will be in their corner. This was all leading to Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers teaming up to take on the Lucha Brothers and the Laredo Kid. And what an absolute stupid match this was. It is getting up. The real talking point is the Laredo Kid, who is reaching Phoenix levels in terms of ridiculousness. These guys just don't care about the laws of physics. I bet when they were in science class and the teacher was going, well, this is how the world works, those two are just going, ha, 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 yeah, right, we're going to show you. I mean, the first thing he did was dive at someone with more momentum than any of us have done with our entire lives, and then everybody was just busting out super kicks. You could even call it a super kick party. We then got down to Laredo Kid versus Omega for a little while, that was absolutely brilliant. And just as he was kind of chipping away at Kenny, he tabbed in Gallows. And of course, Gallows is absolutely massive. The Laredo Kid is not massive. So Gallows started to beat him down. All three then started to wallop him, including this weird triple splash thing, which again had me laughing, before he got the hot tag to Penta. I think Penta felt left out of the bonkers situation, because then he went bonkers, and then decided, wait, this isn't bonkers enough. So he tagged in Phoenix, and then him, Penta, and Laredo Kid were just doing move after move and triple team after triple team. I think at one point they took turns to do dive tag, dive tag, dive tag, top rope, move, tag, top rope, move, tag, top rope, move, tag. I mean, I had to lay down. It was absolutely exhausting. I mean, who invented this kind of wrestling? Where did it even come from? And when Laredo Kid hit a Mishunuku driver on Kenny Omega, honestly, poor Ken landed right on his head, it was such a close near fall, the stupid part of my brain was like, oh, Laredo Kid's gonna beat the AEW champion. Of course he did not. Sadly too, he tried to follow this up with a Phoenix Splash, but absolutely missed, and Kenny Omega was having no more shenanigans because he hit the V-trigger, he hit the one-winged angel, and that was it. And my word, didn't he look relieved. We also had a stare down afterwards between the Young Bucks and Jon Moxley, who came out just to look at them before the bad guys bailed. And I know it's yet more faction warfare, but I have not had groups for a long ass time in professional wrestling. So honestly, you can give me 72,000 more and I will cheer on everyone. Britt Baker promo followed, and she was mostly advertising the fact that AEW Dark Elevation is a thing. But she also had a very good line when she was like, oh, I think Thunder Rosa is going to be on that show, which is good for her career because she needs the wins, because even though she was victorious about me, it was an unsanctioned match, Thunder, so it doesn't go on your record. Talking about factions too, it was then Nyla Rose and the Bunny, along with Matt Hardy's crew, taking on Shida and Ty Conte, along with the Dark Order. And even this match was absolutely crazy. Let's get it up. I mean, they all just ran at each other to kick things off, and then it ended with Shida kind of looking at Matt Hardy, going, Matt Hardy, I don't think you're a very good person, but you never take your eye off the prize in wrestling. That's called a distraction, and Nyla Rose knows this, because she just need the AEW Women's Champion right in her jaw. Shida fought her way back into this by suplexing the Bunny into Nyla Rose, because why the hell not? And when Ty Conte got the tag and she got in there, I tell you this, she is getting better each and every week. She was then up against it though, because the Dark Order and House Hardy started to fight on the outside. And even though she hit the Ty KO, Nyla Rose once again took advantage of all these distractions, and she broke it up. So fair play to Nyla Rose, she is being an observant wrestling watcher. There was then all these crazy convoluted dives off the top rope, and you could just hear Jim Ross grumbling, going, man, I don't like this, I don't like it when they do it, it's so stupid. But it caused so much fracas, even the referee was like, oh no, I don't know what's going on. So the bunny got a kendo stick, she smacked Ty Conte with it, and she was able to get the very, very controversial victory. So this was genuinely nuts, but you couldn't call it boring by any stretch of the imagination, and the amount of directions, the amount of doors this opened for potential stories. And that was basically the theme for this entire Dynamite. And like I say, why I had such a good time. It is a worrying period for the Jurassic Express though, because they were cutting a promo on Bear Country because they're gonna face off next week. And they tied it into the fact that Godzilla versus Kong is about to come out in cinemas. But then Marco Stunt realized he had a tattoo of King Kong on his arm, so you know who that annoyed, Luchasaurus, who obviously has an affinity with Godzilla, because they're basically kind of dinosaurs. I mean, come on, Marco, you of all people should understand the hardship somebody like Luchasaurus has been through. So maybe they'll just go and get it scrubbed off, and they'll replace it with a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I had totally forgotten that our main event on this evening was gonna be Arcade Anarchy, because like I say, everything else had just been adrenaline hooked into your veins. And while this didn't go how I thought it was gonna go, it was just pure sports entertainment in your face. I mean, how could you not walk away with this not feeling joyful and gleeful and all those kind of words? I mean, one of the first things we saw was Kip Sabian being thrown into the whack-a-mole machine, and there were so many other cabinets around ringside that you recognised. Well, I was just getting a kick out of that, if I'm honest. They had Mortal Kombat 2. Miro then suplexed Chuck Taylor through the barricade before getting a chair and chucking it into Orange Cassidy's head and absolutely ruining Charles with it as well. And the only way the best friends are able to stop him is that they got a barricade and basically use it as a battering ram. Even then, they were worried that Miro may got up, so they basically got a bunch of plunder and buried him under it. There was also just every single weapon you can imagine, including Taylor getting a bear and revealing that within said bear was a bunch of Legos, and he revealed this like it was thumbtacks. Now most people go, well, Legos wouldn't hurt. And I'm like, flub you, man. Have you ever stood on a Lego? It is one of the worst things ever. And in fact, if you had one thumbtack and one Lego and you stood on it, I dare to say the Lego would hurt worse. Cassidy had the whole thing won after the orange punch, but that damn Penelope Ford pulled the referee out of the ring. And then she hit Orange right in the balls. But then emerging from one of those claw machines was the returning Chris Statlander. And a small part of me was like, did we put her in the claw machine as like a wink and a nod to Toy Story? But either way, what a lovely moment this was too. And then she slammed Penelope Ford through one of those hockey table things. This was just great. It did allow Miro to get back on top of things though, but just as he was about to do that, all of a sudden in the distance, that minivan turned up. And I was losing my damn mind because we had another return, but this time it was Sue. And yeah, this was leading to the comeback of Trent as well, but I didn't care about that because I was too focused on Sue. But that's not true because Trent was on fire here and he started to run wild. After some back and forth, he threw a chair into Miro's face and then speared him through a table. And that allowed Chuck Taylor to grab Kip Sabian and running power slam him off the entranceway through another table. And that actually looked like an explosion. It also allowed the best friends to get the pin. This was absolutely terrific. It was also carnage. The best friends, along with Chris Statlander, hugged to end the show as Sue was giving the thumbs up. And I honestly couldn't have felt more warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum if I had tried. Sometimes a wrestling show should end with just giving you a bunch of satisfaction. And that's exactly what this did. I also appreciated the fact that the whole time the commentators were going, oh my gosh, Miro's the best, Miro's so strong, one day Miro's gonna be the world champion. So we protected him. And honestly, this was just so bonkers. There's that word again. There's only one thing I can do here because I was so damn entertained. I had so much fun. Maybe for the first time ever, the overall show doesn't just get an up, it's getting the golden up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.